We've got Archie Thompson coming up shortly, and it did finish 1-1 in the end, USA and Wales this morning, this third one day of today. So Riley Meredith, the Tassie quick, has been called in for Mitchell Starc, who's being rested. Ashton Agar's out because he's gone to play in the PM's 11 side against the West Indies. That starts tomorrow. So this game today, Australia $1.55, England $2.45, and MCG. Also, Ben Simmons dropped 22 points yesterday, had 8 rebounds, 5 assists as well in Brooklyn's 127-115 win over Memphis. So that's by far his best performance returning to the NBA for the Brooklyn Nets. And tomorrow, though, don't miss this. He returns to Philadelphia for the first time for the Nets.
He is going to absolutely cop it.
It will be. Philly's sports fans are... Notoriously brutal, and he will head back there where he left in the most acrimonious of circumstances and will cop it all game. Mm. So it'll be worth tuning into. Josh Green, by the way, the young Aussie, 23 points for Dallas. That's a PB for him as they lost by 1 to Denver, though. So gee, it's amazing to think we've got all those players over there making an impact in the NBA. But Ben Simmons certainly can't miss that game against Philly tomorrow. Can't miss, though, Socceroos France tomorrow morning. And joining us now, and he will a few times throughout the tournament, great to have him on board, former Socceroo, and, of course, Melbourne Victory royalty, Archie Thompson. Archie, a very good morning to you, mate. How are you?
Yeah, really good, mate. Apart from this bloody weather, I'm really good.
Well, you're obviously Melbourne-based, aren't you? Here we're finally 26 and sunny. So I saw it was, what, about 12 degrees there the other day in mid-November. So unlucky rubber ducky.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Thank you. Typical New South Wales coming into the Victorians, right?
Well, we're all Australia tomorrow, that's for sure, Archie. And you were there in 2006 in that squad. I mean, describe what the players would be feeling 24 hours out from a World Cup opener.
Well, yeah, obviously nervous. I feel like, though, this particular squad probably hasn't had the expectations of performing probably well, because it's probably a weaker Socceroo team in terms of where players are playing, at what level. And I just feel like that squads in previous World Cup campaigns have probably been that little bit better. But then in saying that, I feel like when there's no... maybe superstars, there's no egos involved. Sometimes you just combine more as a group and you just work harder as a group because you maybe haven't got those superstars. But look, I'm looking forward to it. It's been already an amazing couple of days of matches. And France are missing some really, really key players. So this is a real good opportunity to maybe nick something if we can.
Yeah, Archie, I guess that's probably... We've had a number of messages come through this morning around what is a realistic result tomorrow. And I think every Australian wants to see Australia win. But where do we really sit? Is it realistic to think we can get a draw?
Well, I mean, if you look at my tab app, I'll put up France, obviously, to win maybe and win... with two goals, but I think it's just about building confidence into the rest of the game. This one was never going to be one that was going to be easy, and if we get a result, fantastic, like amazing effort by the boys. But realistically, that's a tough one. Mm. I think the opportunities are to get results and maybe points to progress through to the next phase of this World Cup would be against Tunisia and Denmark. Mm. But you go to a World Cup. No game's going to be easy, regardless of it, because it's tougher to get into a World Cup than actually being a World Cup. So it's just down to who turns up on the day, and that's the variables of sport. Like, you can prepare all you want and then rock up, and this could be France. They've got, like, I looked at the prices of each squad. It's a ridiculous gap in how much that French team is worth and ours and where they're playing. But you turn up 90 minutes, anything can happen.
Mm. Having said that, though, Arch, how do we attack this game tomorrow? Plenty of people are saying that we've got to be able to score goals, but then does that leave us, we play an attacking brand? Does that set us up to get found out on the counter-attack and all those type of things? How do you see Australia's game plan unfolding tomorrow?
Well, Well, mate, let me just come to terms with the legend asking me a question. look, I think the game plan will let. I feel like we'll be sort of sitting back. It'll be more of a defensive minded setup, and look to maybe counter and use the speed of maybe Alecki. Who knows? Going to be starting Mitch Duke. Because I'm uncertain about what that starting lineup looks like, but it's a real opportunity. We're missing Boyle, which is a huge loss for us because he was probably one of our better players through the campaign and someone that's a real X factor. And unfortunately, we don't have him. But then Marco Tilio comes into the squad. I actually texted him leading into this World Cup because I knew that he missed out, and I said, "Mate, look, you're young enough. You're going to have plenty more World Cups in your, under your belt." But he gets the opportunity, and these are platforms for players, young players or fringe players, to take their careers to the next step. We saw it in 2006 with Timmy Cahill. I mean, he's on the bench, comes on, scores 2 goals against Japan, suddenly starting every game, and he has an amazing career over his World Cup campaign and for Everton in the Premier League. So these are real good opportunities for players to step up, and I think that's what they'll be drawing from too. It's like we're on the world stage. We get to play the best of the best. And we get to do our families, ourselves, and our country proud, regardless of what it is, regardless of what the result is. We just want to see a good performance in terms of, the effort and, the mentality. The results will take care of themselves.
We need goals. That's as simple as that, don't we, Archie? You're one of the great goal scorers in Australian football history, but when you look at that squad, who do you see as the personal people that can really provide that X factor? We're going to just need to put the ball in the back of the net.
Well, yeah, that's right. I guess you need goal scorers to win games. And I just look at that. I don't know. Maybe Jamie McLaren, someone that sort of pops to mind, and he's doing amazing here in the A-League. I don't know. At that level, it's obviously a different ball game. You've got Cummings. You've got a young bloke, Quayle, that might come on and make an impact. He's a superstar, by the way. So, anyone can sort of be in that position of score goals. It's when you get those opportunities, you need to take them because we won't probably have as many as what France will have. And so it's just moments, right? Moments in sport. Sometimes it can be a worldie. Sometimes it can be a tap-in. Sometimes it can be a deflection and an own goal. I'll take any of them as long as we get a result. And hopefully do, and a good performance that leads us into the rest of the campaign.
Now, Archie, you mentioned Quayle there. What is it about him that's sort of captured everyone's attention? Because, he's only a young man going to his first World Cup. I can only imagine how excited he is. And he's going to play, I'm assuming, a bits and pieces role. But what is it about him that excites you and we should be all excited about?
Look, I think it's just his confidence, and he's just fearless when he comes out on the pitch, and that's like what I've seen with a lot of the youngsters coming in. It's like how they handle the pressure, and he does it really well. And it's just there's something about him, the way he moves, his speed, his confidence to take players on. He scores goals in ridiculous angles and areas that at his age already shows maturity, and some team in the Premier League like a Newcastle. They're doing amazing in the Premier League as we speak. But for them to obviously go, yeah, we want this guy, we want this boy. That says a lot. He's just exciting. He's really, really exciting. And that's what I love about it. I love a player that's just unpredictable. And they're the most dangerous players when opposition defenses are looking at them, because you just don't know what they're going to do. And that's the amazing part of watching his development. He's only 17 and he's doing ridiculous things that, I couldn't even dream about.
Archie, away from this Australian team, what are your expectations around the final? If you had to pick your two teams to make the final now, who would they be? And there's also been a stack of talk about the beef with Ronaldo and Man United. What do you think we can expect from him throughout this World Cup campaign?
Well, look, he's a goat. Him and Messi are superstars. I don't like the way, obviously, that he's been betrayed. I don't think he really helped himself with an interview that he's done. But look, when the guy's performed at a level and is I don't know how to really put him in. He's like a god, really, in terms of what he's done for the sport, what he's done for every club that he's been at, and especially to come back and maybe give back to the Manchester United fans. And I just thought that there was a lot of disrespect. But guys, you know, sport, like, at the end of the day, it really is a business. And, you know, once you're not performing, they'll find someone else just as quick. And that's just sport. And sometimes you don't get the accolades of maybe what you feel like you deserve. But that guy's been incredible. Him and Messi have lifted the sport to another level. There needs to be some kind of respect there. And I just don't think it's been shown at Manchester United. Hopefully has an amazing World Cup. And, man, I would like Brazil to win. Like, Brazil, for me, is the mecca of football. And I've enjoyed watching them play before when I could walk. And and I just feel like that they've got the quality and just superpower all over the place. And my little dark horse would have to be my country, Serbia, where my partner's from. So, man, I've kind of got a few places. And obviously the Socceroos.
What about England, Arch? I mean, they started this campaign off this morning really well, 6-2 against Iran, and they should finish on top in their group quite easily, I would think. But how do you see them progressing?
Oh, guys, you know the English. They come into every World Cup year, and they're already singing that song. I don't know what it is, but we're coming home, or we're taking it home. and those songs seem to really just dire out towards the end of the campaign because they don't necessarily perform well. But I have to say that their performance last night, okay, the Iranian team wasn't fantastic. Their squad and their depth and their quality that they have, they can really, really push it. And I tell you what, if they do, there's going to be a few loud Englishmen around my area that are going to be giving me some sticks. So I feel like they can go really far, though.
I guess just trying to find some positives or points of difference. Back in 2006 in Kaiserslautern, that was very hot, wasn't it, at the time? We sort of saw Japan wilt at the end of that game, which you were there to witness, obviously, Archie, in that squad. And, you know, you look at Qatar, obviously, warm conditions. People say maybe that's a disadvantage for the European sides and could potentially that be telling for them late in the game tomorrow morning, the French. But I guess the problem is we haven't had that much time together, have we, coming into this World Cup due to the fact that everyone's seasons have started?
Yeah, well, look, I don't know. I thought that would be the case when I watched that Ecuadorian game and Qatar, because Qatar have had months and months preparation together, and they're a good team. They're a really, really good team and good football nation. And our man Timmy Cahill's doing amazing stuff there at a Sky Academy, which a lot of the stuff comes out of. And they were terrible. And, you know, you have teams that are obviously had just, two or three weeks together, and maybe players aren't really in that, 100% leading in when you've got such a short turnaround from your domestic league. But that certainly hampers things. But I don't know. I just reckon the squads are well prepared. Temperature always plays a factor. I know I wouldn't be able to cope. I know that the stadiums are air-conditioned, a few of them, so that I don't think that'll be a problem. But it might be telling sort of with a lot of those European because they're not used to that heat.
Nah, let's just dream of a huge upset, Archie. Thanks so much, mate. Enjoy the match, and we'll chat throughout the tournament. Thank you.
Okay, thanks,
bud. I just see that the Australian side has named their squad for the 5T20 internationals coming up in India. Alyssa Healy, as it was expected, with Meg Lennon continuing her break from the game, is set to captain that side, and some additions. Well, teenage batter Phoebe Litchfield, who's from Orange, ex-Ireland quick Kim Garth, and all-rounder Heather Graham have been added to that 15-player touring party to tour India next month, 5T20s. Out of that side is naturally Lenning, vice-captain Rachel Haynes, who finished up with the Sydney Thunder, her career over as well, and they've left out Leggy Amanda Jade Wellington as well. So Alyssa Healy, no shock there, pup. I think she was, well, her or Elise Perry, I suppose, could have done the job with the obvious choices, but Alyssa Healy to captain that side.
Yeah, well, the Sixers are on fire as well in the final, the women's BBL. So, yeah, I think there's no doubt they'd love Meg back and playing and captaining, but she's decided to take some more time off. So, yeah, Alyssa Healy gets this opportunity, and she's been in good form as well with the gloves, with the bat, and I'm sure she'll do a great job. The official vice captain of the Australian team now, but now gets a crack at captaining.
And we'll speak to Kate Peterson, City Sixers all-rounder, just after the 8:30 news. The great Dean Bulldog Richie will be joining us tomorrow from Hotel Stain, by the way, in Manly.
Is he coming down to the Hotel Stain?
Well, it's a local, more home ground advantage for him as well. So he'll be coming down, I'm told.
Wow.
In person. I'm not sure what time he's doing autographs, whether it's before or after his segment and photos. But
it won't be a massive line, so... He won't be there for too long.
There's a
Stain
sledge.
Hotel. Haven't been there for a while, mate. What to say?
Great setup. Nice there to be the back. Stain. Nice great to be punning back. Pub, actually. Mm. Saturday Arvo. Good little tab in there. And I just see Bulldog's story I was getting to in the paper today in regards to Penrith. He writes, the club hasn't agreed to play the scheduled World Club Challenge against St. Helens on February 18. As they won $100,000 they're giving up a home trial against Parramatta, so they see that as potentially lucrative. And, the chief executive there, Brian Fletcher, and the club not happy in the fact that, they received $200,000 prize money for winning the premiership, for winning the NRL competition. Now, before COVID, it was $400,000. So they're saying, we got past COVID.
Mm. I think we all agree that if you win a competition, you deserve to be paid.
100%.
Yeah, a decent whack of money. And again, I've always been a big one for if you finish minor premiers as well, you deserve to get a whack of money because that's tough to do to finish on top of the table after 26 rounds of tough rugby league games. So, we're past COVID, the game's in good shape, and he's fighting for what he believes the club deserves. And, they also are waiting on prize money and, for this World Club Challenge as well.
And so they're hoping to get an extra, $300,000 basically before they agree to play that game, slated, because they're already scheduled, February 18 in Penrith against the English Super League champions St. Helens. Just saw some comments as well in the News Corp press. Queensland boss Bruce Hatcher, never short of an opinion there north of the border, is pretty much in line with you, Loz, in regards to Origin. This is going to become, again, another talking point. The tier system, no doubt, will be looked at now that Samoa obviously made the World Cup final. And Hatcher saying he's a great believer in leaving Origin as it stands, and adding that while having pathways to international rugby league is important, the pathway to playing for Australia, Hatcher says, is through New South Wales and Queensland, which is in line with what you've been
I've
saying.
I've been on that path, if you want to call it that. And I'm aligned with everything that he said there. I think that it's a pathway to playing for Australia. I love the fact that these Polynesian boys have decided to play for Tonga, Samoa, Fiji. I think it's terrific for the international game. I see no reason why Origin needs to change. But I could come up with a million reasons why I think we should be supporting international football and making that strong. And giving these players the opportunity to play more internationals.
Just away from the Origin element, is the tier system now pretty much irrelevant, though? From an international standpoint, do we have to have tiers? I mean, as we said, we just saw Samoa make a World Cup final. So what does that mean? What does the tier mean?
Well, Samoa, Tonga are tier one nations, if you want to classify them as that. They will compete against Australia, compete against New Zealand, compete against England. So they are, if you generally want to put them in a category, that they are tier ones. But I don't know where it's going to sit leading into next year, but this will only get bigger or be a bigger concern for the game because there's more Polynesian players playing. Mm. And the rise of these Pacific nations... To me, we need to come up with a strong international program and players can make their choice. And I've said it in the past. I think it's great. I think it's terrific for the international game. But I still want to be able to see Origin played with guys on representing their state, and at the end of that, they get the opportunity to pull on the green and gold. I think that's a good pathway for players being in the NRL that want to play for Australia.
Three games of the World Cup this morning, and the United States and Wales finished 1-1. The Netherlands beat Senegal 2-0. England 6-2 over Iran in their World Cup opener. Now, in the NFL today, they're playing in Mexico, these two sides. Arizona, the Cardinals. San Francisco, the 49ers in an NFC West battle. And the Cardinals, gee, they've ranked outsiders here, $4.50. And the 49ers are $1.20. And it's a flat 10 with Tab is the line, Cardinals the plus in that game. Loz, any thoughts on that game? I'd have to check who's playing quarterback for the Cardinals. I think Kyler Murray's still out. And I think Colt McCoy, the backup, might even be in doubt. So you'd have to have a look there and see what's going on with the quarterback situation.
Oh, I'd be all over San Fran.
Games, neutral venue, Mexico.
Yeah, well.
Big line 10.
I think San Fran will make a run for it.
Well, a lot of people suggesting they could win the NFC.
Yeah, I think they're about to go on a bit of a run, San Fran. They beat the Chargers last week. Chargers were pretty good yesterday against Kansas City. What a game.
What about Patrick
But
what, Mahomes,
once
mate?
They got the ball back, when the Chargers scored to go in front with a minute 50 to go, you just knew that Mahomes was just going to drive them down the other end. And then he passed to Kelce and it was just game over.
In a couple of years, if they win another Super Bowl or two, I don't know if I can go that far, but you think great.
Combinations,
quarterback, tight end, and obviously Brady and Gronkowski are there. But gee, these two are unbelievable. Just knew. I was watching. I had a bet on. I actually took Chargers the plus. Yeah. So I won my bet, but I just felt for Chargers fans. Our boss is one of them. You could just see it unfolding, you say. You just knew they were going to score and win the game.
Once he's got time on the clock, he can do anything with Mahomes, and in those conditions too, because it was in LA. So it's not like cold, even though Kansas City gets cold and they're used to it. Like, you're more of a chance of causing a fumble or, you know, not being able to throw the ball as far and as, But you just knew it was going to be a set up for Patrick Mahomes to win the game. And the last time these two have played each other, the last four or five games have been tight. There's been nothing between them. They're both good quarterbacks. Very good quarterbacks.
So that game today, 12:15 kickoff between the Cardinals and the 49ers. Time to talk some cricket. WBBL and the Sixers, what a season they've had. And they're going to host the final on Saturday. 11 wins and 2 losses. And I think a no result from their 14 games. And their last 3 matches, well, Kate Peterson, their all-rounder, she has been absolutely superb with the ball. And she's 3 for 31, 3 for 27, 4 for 17 in her last 3.
Good numbers, I admit.
A bit of a swing bowler, and certainly taking some wickets, and overall pretty economical as well. And she joins us now, Kate. Good morning to you.
Morning. How you going?
Yeah, really well, thanks. So it was a week where it all sort of came together for you. Describe what it's done for your confidence.
Boosted it massively, but it's just really good to get out there with the girls, and I guess we've been training really hard all season to get some of the results. Yeah, it was pretty special.
Yeah, Kate, you've been playing well as a group, as a whole. I guess, you know, I think of this Sixers team that's always got that expectation. You've got a number of superstar players in your team, but what's been the difference, I guess, this season compared to the last couple of seasons?
Yeah, well, this has been my first season with the Sixers, but I think just... I guess looking from afar last season, just the whole vibe within the group. We've got a few new internationals and a new coach, and everyone's just really enjoying their cricket off the field and on the field. So, yeah, I just think it's the enjoyment factor that there is. And obviously when you're enjoying it, you're going to put your best cricket out there.
What about conditions? How have they changed throughout the season? And again, as Mido just mentioned, your last 3 games, picking up wickets. And I think it's underrated in this format. A lot of people talk about saving runs, but the key to me to win games of cricket is look to bowl teams out. What's been the difference for you? Why are you taking so many wickets, do you think?
Yeah, I think I'm just trying to keep the ball up there and try and get it to swing and... I guess bring in all forms of wickets that I can, all forms of dismissals. Yep. We've played on some pretty good wickets, had some challenging outfields, but over the board they've been pretty good.
So you've got a few days now, Kate, of well, no cricket before the final. I mean, how's everyone attacking it? Because sometimes when you're on a roll, you probably like to keep playing.
You're getting blind. What do you reckon?
Yeah, definitely. We're just trying to take this week to, I guess, rest up as much as we can, get rid of any niggles across the group, and just have a few really good training hit out. We've got a good training run on Thursday at North Sydney, so just get used to the conditions and hopefully be ready to go on Saturday.
Is it a pinch me moment, Kate, when you line up with the likes of Elise Perry and Alyssa Healy?
I still haven't gotten over it. Awesome. I still can't believe it. So, yeah, definitely.
And what have you learnt off those girls?
I just, try and take as much as I can from them. I guess off the field as well, how they go about their preparation, their planning, their training, and then just on the field, just the way that they go about it. How they execute, how they come back if they haven't, I guess, got it exactly right. So, yeah, I just really try and get as much out of them as I can.
And, Kate, how important is it for those guys? And I guess you can also add Ash Gardner to that group as well, that their leadership is so important. Like, we're seeing Elise Perry captain the Sixers. Alyssa Healy now gets the opportunity to go and captain Australia, even though she's not captaining a BBL team. But from knowing these two girls, it doesn't matter who's captain, who's got the C beside their name. They're very good and they're happy to help out. So they're leaders without that C or VC beside their name. Has that been important for you?
Yeah, definitely. I guess as a young player coming into a new group and I guess getting my first real opportunity on the big stage, it's just been so, I guess, helpful to have their support. Obviously, they've got a wealth of knowledge and experience, and they're really good about sharing that with the younger players. So that's been, awesome.
We're speaking with Sydney Sixers all-rounder Kate Peterson. And, Kate, what was it like playing against your old side, the Thunder?
I was pretty nervous. I was excited as well. But I guess the Sydney Smash has always been probably the biggest game for the Sydney teams. Just to get the win over them was pretty cool.
And tell us a bit about your background in the game, where you grew up and where did your love of the game come from?
Yeah, so I grew up in Western Sydney. My older sister actually was playing cricket. Both my parents played cricket as well, so it's sort of been through our family. And I just wanted to be like my older sister and play cricket, so I joined my local club at Castle Hill. And then moved across to Parramatta grade and then out to Penrith for grade, and then I've actually just moved down to Adelaide for the longer format game, so... Mm. Yeah.
And what are your goals sort of by the end of the summer? What are you looking to have achieved and to progress to?
Hopefully a big bash final would be nice, a championship. Probably just still try and improve as much as I can, get as much as I can out of all the players, go back down to Adelaide for the WNCL comp, and hopefully we can go back-to-back finals there. That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, you touched on it, but tell us about the impact of Charlotte Edwards, your coach.
Yeah, look, she's been insane. I heard from a lot of the Strikers girls who she's been with for the past few years how incredible she was. And, she's just such a wealth of knowledge. She's such a cool character off the field. She just makes everyone really calm. Yeah, she just makes you, I guess, feel like you could go out there and take 10 wickets every game. She's just so special.
Okay, tonight the Eliminator. So the Brisbane Heat plays Hobart. The winner of that will play the Adelaide Strikers. And then the winner of that plays your side in the final. Who do you think you'll be playing?
Strongest feeling is the Heat. I just feel like they've got that team that could go out there. They've got the big hitters and some really good bowlers. So, that's my bet.
No doubt you'll take on all comers, though, Kate. And congratulations on what you've achieved so far this WBBL season. And good luck. Go well in the final.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
Kate Peterson there, Sixers all-rounder, who had a sensational week last week, 10 wickets in the week. And that game tonight, Brisbane Heat $1.65, Hobart $2.20.
Has the structure for the final series always been like that?
I think in the last couple of years. That mirrors the men's
BBL. So if you finish first, you go straight through to the final?
Yes. And then second will play the winner of that third and the fourth eliminator. Right. I'm pretty sure. Sorry?
Are you a fan?
Well, I worry, as I asked.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
The big gap.
Yeah, you can lose momentum.
So he finishes first. Is a week off great in a format like the BBL where you really...
Depends when the season is as well. Depends when the BBL's played because, as Kate just mentioned, for the Sixers, this allows a lot of their players that have got little niggles to get over those. So it is important. It is a bonus. It is a win. So then they've got a full squad, hopefully, to select from for that final. But, Yeah, if you just, you know, you're just coming into momentum and you start playing well and your team's fully fit, you probably only want a couple of days off before you go again. So it really depends on where your team's at. For the Sixers as well, they've got a few older players, a few older girls as well. So they've played so much cricket. Like you think of Healy, Perry, Gardner, those sort of guys.
They're pros, aren't they?
If they have 5 days off or 3 days off, it's not going to make a difference.
Well, earlier this morning, we spoke to competitive eater James Webb. Yes, competitive eater. He competes in the MLE, the Major League Eating Circuit over there in the United States. Apparently, he's the first Aussie to eat competitively at the home of the MLE, Coney Island, there in New York, from Baulkham Hills. And it sort of all started for him, he was telling us, when he attacked this 5 kilo burger challenge at the Khartoum Hotel, which I believe it's just in Cessnock or out of Cessnock. Well, joining us on the line now is the bloke who owns the pub that James first ate at, Ray. Morning, Ray. How are you?
Morning, how you going?
Yeah, good, thanks, mate. So your pub, tell us about this burger challenge and just tell it for our listeners. Tell us exactly where it is.
Well, what happened is we had a chicken sickle challenge on here. It ran for about 12 months and it sort of ran its course. And the kitchen staff said, we need a new challenge. I said, well, wait with me a minute and I'll think about it. I come back to them and said, right, I'll build me a burger that's 5 kilos.
5 kilos.
So they built this burger and we launched it onto the market and it went off like a rocket. I couldn't believe. I put it on our Facebook page at 2 o'clock on Saturday afternoon and at 2:30, my phone started lighting up and it never stopped.
And it's had over. How many does it feed though? If you go to the pub and order that, how many does that feed normally?
Oh, what we also do is a family meal where people come in and buy it for a family of four.
Just sit around the burger.
Cut it up. You don't feel
it up and away you go. Can I ask how many people would come in and try to eat it on their own?
Yeah, to this date, there's been 73 attempts at it to this date.
And only one's been successful.
And James was number 53, and he did it. And I actually timed him.
Loz wants a crack.
No, I couldn't do it. I'm a big eater, but I couldn't do that.
No, tell us, how long did it take him, Ray?
It took him, he stopped the clock at 25:37 seconds.
25 minutes.
And he said, I'm not full. I said, don't go away. I went and got him a double serve of cheesecake and ice cream and cream.
Oh my
and
God.
And put it down in front of him and said, away you go. And I've restarted the clock. And he finished it all with 53 seconds left on the clock.
Oh my God.
Wow. So that's got burger rings as well. So is that included in the burger or is that?
Yep. Yeah, it's got.
Wedges or chips on the side?
They're wedges.
Chips and wedges. And, yep.
They're both.
Mate. Yeah. How many eggs on top of that piece of meat there?
There's 4 eggs.
It's a good spread.
I heard him talk too, because there's a technique. So I'm just assuming you try and wrap your mouth around it, but you don't. You take out the middle first and eat it. Because I couldn't get my mouth around that.
There's been so many different attempts at it.
Yeah.
Some people just eat the meat first.
Yeah.
Others cut it in quarters. But James is only one. He just got about it and just ate it.
Now, Ray, I reckon you'd get some big blokes going in there thinking they could do it, and yet a bloke like James turns up. Did you have a bit of a giggle when you saw him? Because what I'm looking at James, he doesn't look to be the biggest bloke.
He's not, mate. No, we had a lot of big blokes turn up here. And the thing was, it's about 20 minutes pulls most people up.
Yep.
You watch and they start getting the sweats up.
I can imagine.
And they can't go any further.
What's the deal? If you eat it, you get it for free. Is that how it works?
No. If you eat it, you get your name up on the board.
Yeah.
Okay. You're still paying for it. Absolutely. What's it cost?
I think it's $65 now. We haven't done it since early in the year because of all the COVID stuff that's been going on around. So it's been sort of on the back burner.
What was the schnitzel challenge, just out of interest?
It was a 2 schnitzel challenge, but it was pretty easy done. But this 5 kilo burger, it sorts the meat out from the boys.
Yeah, you can tell it would. It certainly would.
I copped a lot of flack on Facebook over it. people saying it can't be done, it can't be done, it can't be done. And well, when James did it, I was very pleased that James did it. I think he got $650 for his effort, I think, that day, yeah. $650 he got for that day.
So, all right, you've got to give your... Where's your pub exactly, Ray?
Okay, it's a place called Kitchener, which is about 4Ks south of Cessnock.
Okay, Kitchener, just out of Cessnock. Yep. The Khartoum Hotel.
Bring it back. Bring the burger back.
Khartoum Hotel, the best pub in the area, mate. Best beer, best food.
Best burger by the look of it, too.
Big burger.
Oh, yeah.
Are you going to bring it back?
We're going to relaunch it shortly.
Ah, good stuff.
Well, let us know when you're launching and we'll give it a plug on here.
Yeah, why don't you stop and have a go at it?
Or three of us.
Yeah, all three.
Yeah, I reckon we're a chance if the three of us share it.
Crack, yeah.
you never know.
Oh, dear.
Oh, yeah, no.
Give it a crack.
I would, but I'd be wasting it. I'd have to share it. Yeah. No, we'd have to share it.
Definitely.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah. If I attempted that, I know I'm not going to.
Could you do
it.
Half, you reckon?
Oh, yeah.
Cut it in half?
Yeah, I reckon I could do half. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Ray, thanks for filling us in, mate. Appreciate you calling us.
See you on the weekend.
Okay.
Have a good one, mate.
Thanks, mate. Bye.
I can't stop looking at this burger. I think we've got to give this a nudge at some point. The three of us together.
Yeah. We could eat it. The three of us could eat it, I reckon. I'm not sure. There's a lot of onion rings there as well.
Yeah.
Wedges on the side. What's that? Sweet chili and sour cream on the side. So do you have to eat that? Do you have to finish every bowl?
Dip.
Yeah, okay.
You want that for your wedges, surely. DS, morning to you.
Morning, boys. What are you talking about with this burger?
Okay, so we had a bloke on this morning who's a competitive eater, and he's road to, you know, going on the circuit over there in the States started with going to the Khartoum Hotel just outside of Cessnock.
Yeah.
And he demolished this 5-kilo burger challenge. He did it in, I think it was 25 and a half minutes. And that sort of was the start of his journey over to the States.
Okay, there you go.
Look up James Webb Eating.
James Webb Eating, right? I'll do that.
And then
now.
you'll see a couple of images.
I see a few blokes on the
yeah. They're asking
message.
About whether you
yeah,
would
no.
be able to.
I'll be honest with you, boys. I'm not a burger. Like I'd rather have 500 dozen oysters, knock them over.
Any particular reason?
But not the burger. I don't know. Like, I'll have a burger now and then, but when you see those burgers...
So you go the oyster over the burger?
Yeah, 100%.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. Wouldn't you love the oyster Kilpatrick over the burger?
No way, man. I'm taking this burger in front of me. Looks
100%.
Unbelievable.
Looks
burger
unreal.
And chips, I think I'm taking over anything.
Really?
Yeah.
What about more grazing, boys? See, I find, like, if you smash that big burger and chips...
Yeah, I want to be straight to the couch.
Yeah.
So full. I need ice cream.
Wouldn't you just rather graze all afternoon?
No.
Little entrees all afternoon.
No, I'd rather eat that and not be able to.
Little
walk.
Tapas. Yes. See, I'd rather have tapas all afternoon.
No,
and then
instead of
knocking off the burger straight away, and then
when have you ever?
I don't know.
Mate?
What are they calling
with you? Mate, you go straight for the biggest meal. There's no tapas. There's no
what do you mean straight for the biggest meal? No, I like the oysters and the salt and pepper calamari and all that sort of stuff. Actually, I had a question posed to me. If you're having your final meal, if you're on death row,
I think we've all done this.
What would be your final meal, Loz?
Oh, jeez. I don't know, Dave.
Something
that,
to think about.
That burger looks good.
That burger.
It looks that
probably
good.
Probably send you to death row.
Mate.
Yeah. You know what? I think something like that, yeah.
Big burger, pizza.
Big burger.
Well, I'd have to get the biggest feed so it'd extend my time.
Yeah.
I could take my time.
Do you know what?
Because if you got through the meal quickly, you're gone.
You'd appreciate this part. Remember No Names?
Oh, man. Yeah. There's a schnitzel with the spaghetti bolognese on top.
Yeah, the schnitty burger, the schnitty pasta combo.
Oh, A-grade.
I reckon that would be.
Yep, very good.
Isn't that where Toddy? That used to be.
Nah, it used to be in the Beach Road. And yes, you're right. It used to be in the Royal in Bondi. It was the Beach Road before that. And I believe it's in Erskineville now.
There is still one, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Pizza pasta combo is a good one as well. That's called eating till you can't move.
Yeah.
You're so full, you can't walk out.
Nothing worse. Boys, Tracy Bartley's going to join us on the show. This market for the weekend, we've got some Group 3 racing in Sydney. So Tracy's going to join us straight after scratchings. Richard Callender, Joe Pride, Mark Newnham, John Thompson and Keith Dryden. So we've got a good little show today. Looking at, of course, Rose Hill on Saturday. And later in the week, we've got our punters panel. We might even try and check in West. We heard yesterday Ron Duffersey on Punters Postmortem. A few of the Sky Thoroughbreds Central team are heading over to Perth, of course, with those big races. And we've got the Sydney horses over there with Godolphin. So it'll be interesting to see how they can, you know, go for, what's it called, you know, the Pinnacles?
Yeah, the Pinnacles.
Yeah, so be very interesting to see how that all unfolds, and we'll try and get you some mail for there. Plus, as well, our New South Wales racing. Today in New South Wales, we've got, where are my meetings today? I'll double check. I think we've got Newcastle and Woolloomba. So we've got right up at the north of the state and also up there at the Hunter. We've got six races at Newcastle, boys. Enjoy your Tuesday. A bit chilly outside with that wind.
Well, we'll be at the Stain tomorrow. Socceroos, France. Bring it on.
Enjoy, boys. Live from 5:30, the Big Sports Breakfast with Mido, Pup and Loz. Racing HQ comes up next. Don't go anywhere. As I said, Tracy Bartley will be our first guest. We'll chat about Kiss Some and also the weekend's races ahead. You're on Sky Sports Radio.